we're turning our attention here to Proposal 1, but before we do, there'll be some other areas of interest in terms of politics today in the Great Lakes State, especially on the presidential side. Some buzz going on out there. Joining us to talk, someone who's always part of the buzz. He's not Buzz, but he is talking the buzz, is Kyle Malin, co-owner of MERS News and the editor there covering all things state government, local government, national, federal, you name it. And this morning, Kyle, first of all, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning. Oh, yeah, I'm here. Let's talk about it. We got all sorts of presidential stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there is a lot. I mean, it's a lot of moving parts today. First of all, before we get to Proposal 1 and all that stuff, final 24 hours, we've got, a few minutes ago, Carly Fiorina with her video, and she'll be in Lansing coming up in a few days. You got Scott Walker, not with a video yet, not declared, but boy, oh boy, he's polling well amongst the group, right up there with Jeb Bush. He's going to be here today. You got Ben Carson, who preempted his own announcement, but he's going to officially announce in Detroit. This is it's combustible right now. Not bad, huh?
Yeah, not bad at all. And you didn't even mention Rand Paul. He's going to be in Grand Rapids this morning with Justin Amash, one of his big supporters. So, yeah, we've got a trifecta of Republican presidential hopefuls in the state of Michigan today. Scott Walker being in Ingham County today. He's going to be in downtown Lansing for lunch, and then he's going over to Oakland County to speak with some people. But, yeah, the day before Proposal 1, there's going to be something else grabbing some headlines.
Kyle, I told we had Congressman Bishop on a little bit ago, and I said this is kind of like shaking up a snow globe right now and seeing how things settle out because now it's like, the run on making your announcement is on. And once one gets in, someone else tests the water. We're up to five and more to come, and we keep wondering about the guy over in the Romney building as well, because he doesn't take his name, talking about Governor Snyder, out of the mix. So what's your overall take on this right now?
It kind of reminds me of the last presidential cycle, 2009, where we had Republicans. I think we had about 10 or 12 Republican candidates get in, and that was when they had an incumbent, Barack Obama. This is almost like that times two, in that there is no incumbent this time, necessarily clear front runner, nobody whose turn it is, which is usually what we see in Republican politics. And so you're seeing quite a bit of, interest among potential candidates. Santorum, Huckabee, some people who have held over from the last cycle are going to get back into this too and try and get some of the momentum they had last time around. But I tell you, Dave, hope springs eternal, and without maybe anyone seeing a clear front runner, even though I still think Jeb Bush is kind of the likely nominee here, hope springs eternal, and you never know until you try. And sometimes these bids only last a few months. They realize they can't raise any money, so they drop out. But it's kind of fun to watch these people test the waters.
And what about Michigan's role in this as a possible king or queen maker, as it were? It seems like already we are at, with these appearances, with these speeches, with, again, just some of the buzz out there, it doesn't look like we're on the extreme periphery, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, you take a look at what the primary schedule is going to look like next year, and you get Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. And then you get these next batch of states that are going to be hosting their primaries or caucuses in February, and they're kind of mostly in the South. And then that next week is when, in March, is when Michigan is going to have their presidential contest. And I think that's one of those contests that kind of separate the men from the boys, if you will. If you can't come out of Michigan looking strong or with a win, it's as if you can't really compete at all, because Michigan's going to be a money state. There's some organization, that's for sure. But unlike Iowa and New Hampshire, where it's a lot of knocking in small groups and that kind of thing, Michigan, you actually got to spend some money. And if you're not willing, and if you're not able, I should say, if you're not able to do that and generate any type of ground support, you're pretty much dead meat. So to get here now and early and kind of get those connections together is very important.
Yeah, and it's, you got to do some retail politics here too, and that's going to be more than just visiting with folks at whatever notch and having some maple syrup and pancakes. Works in some other states, but we have a much more diverse state, diverse population than that. So you're going to have to put some thought to it.
That's absolutely right. You know, and that means getting together some type of grassroots support, a little bit of organization. If you can get a PAC together, that would be helpful as well. But, you know, these candidates are just, you know, hoping to get enough money to keep their campaigns going. So I don't know if we're going to necessarily see any PACs.
Let's turn to Proposal 1 here, and that's going to be a big topic for the rest of this morning's program. Saw some late polling again with this Thursday and Friday. Probably that's it for the polling part of the campaign. On the external side, it's still not looking strong. The bus tour took the weekend off on the Safe Roads Yes. What's your take on where that stands right now? Did that surprise you a little bit?
Yeah, kind of did. But maybe, you know, if you don't have anyone on the bus, then, you know, what's the point of it? And, you know, Snyder's been the big draw on the bus tour. He's going to, you know, be on it today. And, you know, without the governor, it's hard to get that media interest in the campaign, too. And, you know, you don't want to do a bus tour and then have the only person that shows up be your local newspaper reporter, because then that just looks completely embarrassing. So I think a lot of that revolves around what the governor's schedule looks like, and he must have been busy doing other things. But and just looking ahead here at Proposal 1, David, you know, it doesn't necessarily look all that promising. You know, my prediction is that this thing will fail 60-40. But I still think that there's a 10% chance this thing could win, Dave.
And how do you do that? Is that with a super low turnout?
Yep.
And a super low turnout?
Super low turnout, absolutely. The lower it is, the more likely this thing would pass. I think if we start looking at 1.5, 1.8 million people show up, this thing is toast. If it gets below 1.5 voters, if we're starting looking like a 1.2 or just even the 1 million range, it looks even more likely. And that's because the people who are really passionate about this are going to go out and vote. And I'm talking about school people, you know, folks who are involved in schools. If you're in local government in any way, if you rely on any state money from the general fund whatsoever, you're going to want to get out there and vote for this thing, because this could be the last, like, substantial increase in state funding you're going to see for a little bit. And, you know, if this thing fails and the legislature is going to have to start looking at places to cut in the budget to get to get to $1.2 billion in roads or something close to it, it's going to mean, at best, flat increases for some of these things, or very minimal increases for schools and local governments. And at worst, you know, they could be looking at reductions. And so you gotta be supporting this if your job or if you have a lot of interest in local schools and local government.
It's funny, though, because the way you describe that tells me, again, it lines up on the Democratic side of the equation. They're always about bigger voter turnout. And yet those who are trying to get this passed might be hoping for lesser voter turnout this time. I mean, it just seems like a bizarre tug of war that's going on there.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it kind of speaks, though, I think, kind of the philosophy on why this is in May in the first place. I think the folks in the quadrant at the time realized that, you know, if we put this in on May, and obviously they just wanted to get it out as soon as possible,
yeah,
and hopefully influence the road building season. But, you know, the more people who participate, you know, the less likely it is to win. And I think they kind of realize that whenever you've got kind of a large ballot proposal of this, like this, with a lot of moving parts that, you know, may make sense if you sit down and study it for a half an hour, but, you know, just on its face, it looks a little sketchy. You know, it's going to have a hard time passing people just on the, you know, just based on a quick look. But, you know, that's kind of the problem here, too, is that people who are given it a quick look may not even bother to show up tomorrow. They may think this thing is done. They got other things going on. They completely forget about it, which is entirely possible as well. And, you know, so the thing slides through. But I think enough people know about it that that's not probably going to happen. And we're going to come back to the old road funding battles of ore.
MERS News will be covering this, of course, cover the election, cover the fallout from it, how things divvy up afterwards, pro or con, and what comes next, either a passage with the 10 bills that kick in and the time frame for that, or Plan B, C, or D also cover these visits by the political folks on the presidential side. I dare say you're going to be very busy over the next week to 10 days, as if you weren't already.
Yeah, but you know what? I would be surprised if we see anything fast come out of the legislature in regards to a road funding proposal. I would expect that they're going to take their time on this and give it yet even more study before we see anything concrete.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's so they'll spin their wheels after previously spinning their wheels.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily spinning their wheels. I mean, we've got a new leadership structure in place.
Sure.
And new different
folks.
And you got different folks. And you know, a revenue enhancement is going to have to be a part of this. You know, and I am pretty much sensing as much from the two legislative leaders. So it's really kind of gauging what you can get and how much you can get. Now, they're not going to get $1.2 billion in a revenue increase like they did last year with the gas tax and the driver registration fees. But they're going to have to go back to that well again if this thing fails. And they're going to have to come up with something along those lines. And so it's gauging members and what they feel comfortable with, how far you can go, how far you can push it, and try to compile something. And then when you feel like you got the votes, then you start bringing this out. But that is a very long process.
Kamala Inn, co-owner of MERS News and editor there, appreciate your insight this morning, both on the presidential side of things and, of course, on Prop 1. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, and we will have an answer, a definitive one, at least on the election side, but the next time we chat.
Well, hopefully.
at least in terms of the vote. We'll know.
Absolutely.
We'll have the vote side down.
The vote will be taken care of.
The vote will be taken care of. Kyle, have a great day.
You too, Dave.